Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the Artist Marketing and Partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. I have with me, as always, my partner in crime, Dave Arcade.
Thanks, Andrea. I'm Dave Arcade, an artist on the Closer and Closer roster, but enough about me because it is my pleasure to introduce today's guest. Chidi Wayne is a Barcelona-based artist who works in various media, including painting, sculpture, illustration, music, and animation. He creates minimalist and gestural works of art, often including a personal code of signs and motifs. He uses quick, bold strokes, presenting such universal and timeless themes as existence, identity, and internal conflict.
Welcome to the podcast, Chidi.
Welcome, Andrea. Thank you so
much.
I'm
so excited to have you. For the listeners, I don't know how closely you watch our roster throughout the year, but Chidi is one of the newest additions, added him on this year. So I'm really excited because I think this is the first time that we've had like the space to just talk for a long time about your work. So I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, it is. Thank you for
having
me.
And I'm going to be calling you Wayne, so don't get confused, listeners.
Yeah.
He told us to call him Wayne. I like calling him Wayne, and this Andrea is sticking with Chidi.
Yeah, as the marketing girl, I got to go with the marketing name, you know?
I am a multi-directional person, so I think this is going to work perfect.
Yeah. I think this is also like a common issue that anybody with a slightly different name runs into when they're working in the US, because I get called all kinds of things that are not Andrea, like not the correct way that you say my name. And I've just learned to respond to everything under the sun. I remember even in college, my last name is like hyphenated. So it's like Mejia Madriz, and it's the whole thing is my last name. But in college, because of the way that it was written on like rosters or like roll call list, I would always get called Madriz in class. And so I would always just have to, now I respond to Madriz as if it's like my first name, which it is very much not. And nobody else ever does that. But
do you know the story behind your surname, Andrea?
I do not. I mean, my family is Hispanic, but I don't know what the actual story is behind it.
Let me tell you.
Yes.
So the city is called Madrid, which is the capital of Spain, Madrid, with final D. But people in Madrid, they always say Madrid, with Z. But it's like definitely not a bad term. It is like a common way of saying the name of the city, like Madrid.
Oh, that's funny.
And sometimes they tend to finish with set some words. Mm-hmm. I mean, they, not only people in Madrid, people in Spain in general. For example, David, which is David in Spanish, David. There are so many people that they say David. With set. Same thing happens with Madrid because it ends with ID. And so, yeah, your surname is like the common way of calling the capital of Spain. So it is so funny. It is the first time for me to see it written
yeah.
like this with set.
You have the phonetic spelling.
Yeah, that's so funny. Because I knew it was, that's always how I tell people my last name, because it's a pain to spell. So I always just say, like the city Madrid, but with a Z at the end. So it's funny that that's actually why I'm named that. It's good to know.
Where does the Mejia come from?
Do you know, Chidi? Because I don't. I know Mejia means peak in
all
Spanish.
The answers.
Yeah.
No, Mejia, yeah, it is just... Yes, a Hispanic surname.
Yeah, it's definitely really common. There's a lot
what
of
does
Mejias.
It mean?
Like the word Mejia is cheek in Spanish. Like your
like cheek?
Mm-hmm.
What is Madrid?
No, that's Mejia.
Yeah, it's spelled differently, but when you say it, it sounds the same.
Yeah, with double L between the I and the A, Mejia, yeah.
Yeah.
But but it is not, the,
not my
word.
Last name. Yeah.
No.
Well, now we got to, like, why do you have a hyphenated last name and you're not married?
The whole thing. My mom just wanted people to know that I was also her daughter because she didn't take my dad's last name. So she hyphenated it. And it's been a point of contention ever since because my name's really long and a pain to spell. But yeah, so that's
it's cool though.
Thanks. Before, yeah. Okay. Back to you, Chidi.
Yeah,
we get too deep into it and start discussing the origins of Arcade, which we already did before this. Again, you're somebody on the roster that I think everybody's fascinated with and like interested to learn more about just because you have a very a different career than all of them. You're not just a commercial artist. You're also a fine artist. So I just wanted to start off with the most basic question I could probably ask you is, could you tell us just about where your creative career started? You know, did you go to art school? Did you ever have, you know, more traditional jobs? Were you always kind of down this route? Just tell us about yourself.
So my artistic trip began when I was, when I realized I wasn't happy studying economics. And working at the same time in this business with lots of Excel documents.
Yeah.
So I wasn't connected to my core, to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that. And so that's when I went to my second stage. So I came here in three big steps. So first one was realizing that wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
The second step was I said, okay, what can I do? At that time, I was pretty into fashion. I was I had no money, so and I loved to make my own T-shirts because I couldn't buy them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was designing my T-shirts, and that got me into the fashion world. So that's when I came to Barcelona to study fashion.
Oh, cool.
As a fashion designer, that's when I started to draw. I was drawing the mannequins. I was drawing my designs. And those mannequins I was drawing, they started to keep the attention of the people. There was like, hey, you really can draw. And I was enjoying it very, very much because back when I was a kid, I used to draw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was 8 years without drawing. So I thought that was something that I got, I lost from, from my abilities. I never thought about drawing anymore. But when I was studying fashion, that's when I started again. So I got commissions related to fashion illustration.
Oh.
And so
just from like people that saw your like mannequin work and all of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
And so I was I started editing and doing illustrations for fashion books.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time I was both selling my collections and doing commissions in as an illustrator. In the early days, as a fashion illustrator, focused only on in fashion. So, as I said, I'm multi-directional. I was doing those things at the same time.
Yeah.
But I realized that one of those paths really connected with me and really made me feel free. Free in terms of being able to learn and to apply what I'm learning in almost real time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in fashion, everything took like a few months to be real.
Uh-huh.
I also needed a team. I depend on this guy, this other person, the person who saw this, the person. So I enjoy being with myself and developing things by myself. And illustration, it is something I never looked for it. Mm-hmm. It kind of came for me because, as I said, my drawings kept attention from people. I was not showing to people. But yeah, my teachers, and they were saying, hey, maybe you can do something with this, or maybe we can show this to this editorial. Mm-hmm. So you can, that's when I started doing these commissions for books.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, at that time I realized that was, I belonged to that world.
Yeah.
And I would say the shift, I did it in maybe 2010, I think.
Oh, wow.
When
yeah.
I was only doing illustration.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the first year was pretty rough because I knew what I wanted to do, but I still didn't have the strength in my stroke, the personality, the knowledge in general,
mm-hmm.
and also the clients. So, you know, you have no clients, so clients don't trust you, don't mm-hmm. trust you, but you don't have clients, blah, blah, blah. So you start, you're always in that circle. And somehow I broke that circle. It's not fair to say somehow, because there's a reason. And
mm-hmm.
I knew I could do it. Yeah. I knew deep in my heart, I really knew that I could do it. And at that time, it was years ago, I was a bartender in Barcelona.
Mm.
And during that rough year, maybe it was 1 year prior to my decision to change to illustration, I said, I'm not going to work as a bartender anymore. I put that pressure on me.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to make it easy saying, okay, I'm going to work as a bartender, and occasionally I will start drawing. I knew that that would only make it harder for me, and it would take more time.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do it right at that moment. I trusted in what I had to offer. So I said, okay, maybe I have nothing to it, but I'm gonna burn that bridge. So that's the only thing I can do. And I put all my effort there. I was like, I don't know, I was like this rapper that gets tattoos all over his face. So that's the only thing he can do.
Example.
Yeah. So that's, I really burned all those bridges because I knew there was one day I remember making a drawing. And I said, that's it. I got it. I got it. Now I just have to find people trusting in what I do.
Yeah.
But I remember perfectly the day that I knew that I had it.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
What'd you draw?
I draw this guy's face from a magazine. I remember this ID magazine. Yeah, it was just a portrait, but I did it with pencil and watercolors, but I applied it in a way that I knew that was my way, because it resembled a little bit to one of my teacher's drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And that teacher was and is my mentor.
Mm.
And the people, the person that I really admire, and he was the main reason that I got interested in illustration. So when I got closer to him, technically, when I could see that I was really close to him, that's when I said, yeah, I got it, because I admire him so much and I have so much respect for him and to his work. By the way, his name is Berto Martinez. That I would never ask him, because we were close. Mm-hmm. I would never ask him, hey, how do you do this? How can you achieve this or that? I never allowed myself to, I don't know. I think it was kind of like rude from me because it was too obvious that I wanted to be him.
Yeah.
So I didn't want it to be that obvious in asking. But when I find that way by myself, mm-hmm. that's when I knew it. And a few months later, he got my hand and he said, listen, I know you have reached a nice level in drawing, in the use of watercolors, because in the beginning I was focused on watercolors. So he said, listen, I have this commission. They asked me to do it with somebody else. And the commission was for Nike.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to do it with somebody else. You wanted to do it with me. And I couldn't believe that he was putting my name at the same level as his.
Wow.
So we did this commission together, and that was, without a doubt, that was the, I don't know how to say it in English, shifting point.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
When something turns into a total different direction.
Yeah.
So that was that commission and Berto Martinez believing in my work. That was the shifting point in my career.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's super cool. Like, if you notice, we were just listening. I'll interrupt with jokes and stuff, but I really like, let me just get something out of the way here. This will probably surprise you and I hope it doesn't make you uncomfortable, but I did a podcast last week and the person sent the questions over kind of like we do here. Mm-hmm. And they're like three people that you're into or that are inspiring you right now. They said Mark Maggiore, who I just can't get over, Dr. Disrespect and freaking Chidi Wayne. Like you are on my short list of 2022 most inspirational people, man. When you join the roster, I know, right? Like now your day is made. You can die in peace.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were gonna speak about somebody else. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, you're awesome, man. Like when I first saw your work, you know, first thought was this dude's definitely unique. Like the cut, like no lines, no color, like everybody else, no cartoon characters. So I'm going through, it's like, is he a designer? It's like, oh, fashion. Okay, making sense. High end. Like, you know, this is totally different artist. And then I got to your watercolors and I went right past them because the brain like detects imperfections and disruption. So it took me a second. I stopped and I was like, hold the freaking phone. And I went back and I looked at him. I was like, holy shit. Like this dude is a master level watercolorist. Like I couldn't believe my eyes. And I got to the apartment building. I've showed it to like 20 people. I mean, look at this thing. This is watercolor. Look how straight the lines are. Is that a watercolor or did you do that digitally with watercolor brushes?
No, I've been
wanting to ask this question for like 3 weeks.
I don't work with, I use a basic tablet just to edit myself to make, change colors and also to navigate through internet. Mm-hmm. But these are my tools. I mean, I'm just using brushes. And yeah,
I want to leave.
It is real.
How the hell did you? How do you get all of the windows in perspective and a perfectly straight line? Like, do you just do that live? Like, do you use a ruler? I've been thinking about this a lot.
Okay. In this case, I will leave it like this, so you can keep thinking about it.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, no. I don't want to get away from that list, from those artists that you admire. I wanna be there. So I prefer to be mysterious.
Stay aloof.
It's like how I've studied the for some reason I've studied the free throw line dunk by Michael Jordan like way too much for a guy who can never. I'm not studying it because I'm like I'm going to be able to pull it off, but I have like a gif of it and I just want to know like how he did it, and I love the mystery. Like I can usually get to almost the answer. But if I can't fully figure it out, it goes in my pantheon of favorite things. And your apartment building or city building, whatever you call it, has gone into my pantheon of favorite things. And those things stay forever. So I would rather not know. Because once I know the magic trick, then it's like, oh. But I bet you just did it by hand, which that's not magic. That's like climbing Everest.
No, I do. Yeah, I use ink. I use watercolors. I mean, yeah, this is what I do.
I love that answer. This is what I do. Just like Jordan. It's like, well, I jump from the free throw line because this is what I do.
because I know that there are awesome digital brushes.
Yes.
Today. And you cannot really differentiate anymore. But in watercolor, what I like about watercolor are these is the fact that you are trying to control water, but water is a fluid. You're never gonna be able to really control it 100%. So the accidents that the water creates, I think you cannot replicate that digitally. You can make something that, it has this algorithm that, I don't know, it says every 5 inches, for example, I'm gonna make a 30% of distress, and I'm gonna,
right.
Yeah, you can, but there's gonna be always a formula, and if you make it big enough, you can track how the pattern is created.
Yep.
But
yeah. It's like auto tune.
I just like embracing the mistakes, and I went from trying to mitigate the mistakes and trying to hide mistakes, doing more realism, into not only embrace mistakes, but look for them. And now that's what I'm doing. I'm looking for mistakes, obviously in a controlled way, but it is like drawing with your opposite hand. So if you draw with the right, now drawing with the left. So you can move the pencil, but without that much control.
Mm-hmm.
I love that sense. I love the sense of not having everything under control.
Mm-hmm.
I think this relates to the people to the person that I am, because I am not an spontaneous person. Mm-hmm. You, for example, Dave. I don't know you that much, but you are so fast with your jokes. You're so spontaneous.
Thank you.
So I don't think I am that type of person. So I'm fighting against it's not a fear. I'm not saying it is a fear, but I'm fighting against the person that I am, mm-hmm. trying to get closer to the person that I want to be. So freedom. showing a more spontaneous version of myself makes me feel way more free, and makes me feel real freedom.
Yeah, man. Okay. So this is a side note about what you're talking about, and then I want to talk about your gestural studies, but. I've noticed this in true artists. I don't consider myself a true artist. I'm a designer. I'm like a technician. That's why I put so much stuff in my work. It's like, if I'm doing this digitally, I have all these advantages, which means I better be able to draw a ton of stuff perfectly. So for me, it's more like moving lines around. But when I talk to artists, like my son's a true artist. You're a true artist. I was listening to the White Stripes guy, what's his name? Jack White talks about imperfections on albums. Like when they used to record them on records, it was way cooler because if you made a mistake, it's on the record. So you try really hard not to make one and you actually produce like a cool moment. My son talks about this a lot too. Like mistakes are where it's at and breaking away from trying to make things perfect. Well, you just explained it. It's something... You're fighting against something in your personality that might not necessarily be what you want it to be. Mm. I find this fascinating about true artists. They have such different reasons for making art. For me, it really is like, I think at the end of the day, I'm like a guy who can play really fast guitar solos. Like I'm a people pleaser. I'm like, check this out. It's for me too. Like, I think it's fun, but I wish that I had like a set of codes and philosophies that I went by before I went into it. Maybe someday I will. I know that you do. So this is what's fascinating about you, among other things. You have this master level, watercolor ability, but you just kind of put it in your back pocket. You're just like, yeah, I can do that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend a ton of time doing these hand studies, drawing hands. I mean, I don't know how many hands you've drawn, but it's probably a lot. Mm. These gestural studies.
Yeah.
And I read on your about page, like a little bit about what you're getting at in doing that. It's really cool. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Like the hands, sure. and why this approach?
Sure. So when I started doing commissions as an illustrator, I really embraced the fact that I was drawing, I was enjoying it, but I wasn't telling anything. Mm-hmm. Just I was drawing just beautiful images. That's it. But you get tired of something when it's only beautiful. So I was trying to get deeper, but I really at that time I didn't have anything to say, or I didn't know how to say it. So because I love long-term goals, I always admire, I mean not admire, but I always liked the idea of being a golf player in contrast with other sportsmen. Because if you are a soccer player, for example, you're 3-4 and you're almost done. Mm. But in real life, at 34, you're
young,
learning and you're still young. So when I see golf players and they are maybe 60 and they still can do it, so I love that idea. So I try to have this golf player mindset, and I said to myself, okay, you don't know what to say right now. Hmm. but let's make a deal. You're gonna keep drawing thanks to commissions. You're gonna have the pressure to deliver something professional and something good. But you're gonna try different techniques. You're gonna learn. You're really gonna learn, and you're gonna get money at the same time. But you're gonna learn, mm-hmm. and in this process, someday you will get something out of it. You will have the idea, and you will have the technique. In your technique will improve, so you will have something to say and a way to say it. So what,
that's so cool.
When you really don't, if you have a partner or you really don't know exactly the day. Sorry, I start again. You have a partner. You don't have a calendar when you say, okay, I'm gonna tell her that I love her in a month. Because I think in a month, no, you just know it when you know somebody. You just know when you know somebody. You don't mm-hmm. have to question yourself, do I know that person? No, you just know. So that came to me, the artistic, symbolic period, let's say. It came to me in a moment where I didn't have to ask if I was ready to deliver something deeper or not. I was there already.
You knew it.
Yeah, so because I did so many portraits for as commissions, I did lots of portraits for magazines, especially for Kinfolk magazine. So I had this idea in mind that a cool portrait, they mostly attract the person who's been portrayed.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of, yeah, I was getting a lot of so many people out of the interest of what I'm doing. Maybe there's somebody passionate about the technique as Dave, for example, maybe they can see this and that. But I had this idea of doing a portrait for the person who's actually looking at the painting or at the artwork. And because here at my studio, I spend a lot of time by myself. Obviously, mm-hmm. I obviously have so many conversations with myself mentally. I don't speak to myself, but mentally I have conversations and questions. And so I realized that when I'm not looking myself in a mirror, the only part that can connect with me, that can make me realize that I am in the moment, it was my hand. Maybe because I was drawing, but the hand is something that it is always in my view.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I started to look the hand as a direct connection with yourself, because the questions that I make, it's like I throw them to the air. Mm-hmm. But if I wanted to materialize those questions, I needed to find like a destiny, a subject. So mm-hmm. these questions are, I throw those questions to a subject. That subject, it is me. But it is me in a pure and idealistic way, where I have nothing surrounding me. So mm-hmm. it is like I am with my eyes closed, something like that. So that's why I didn't want to reflect me in an objective way in a mirror. I want it to reflect me in a more abstract and deep way in my hand. So I started having those conversations with the hand. That's why I understood the hand as a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I want to draw these mirrors so people can see themselves in them and make the difficult questions, those questions that maybe you don't want to you don't want to admit you have those questions, but they are those questions have it in your mind. They have a place in your mind. So those hard questions, throw those questions. Sorry, this is not my first language. So
no, we're you're following all good. You.
So I'm going to throw those questions to this like deep mirror, this symbolic mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the hands started. The hands also act as a starting point in my artistic career because this is nothing involved to commissions. So mm-hmm. this is, it comes deep from me. So I started from the hands and now it also developed, I also developed the idea with the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
As representing the same persons. So fighters are, so I mean, hands are conversations, fighters are is the representation of the inner struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It is everything is the same. It is about you dealing with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is the stage where I'm right now artistically.
And you're dealing with yourself.
And,
I love that.
Yeah. And because I'm really enjoying this now, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to apply the same language because I don't want to lose the connection with my commercial side. So what I'm trying to do now is to apply this style, this technique with the stroke, like with this imperfect stroke. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to now to apply to my commercial work. And so, yeah, my goal it is to blend both, at least in aesthetics. I want them to blend.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, Dave, I love that the idea of having the watercolors in my pocket, in my back pocket. It is like this. I mean, I can do it and anytime somebody wants to, but that's not going to be my choice. If I have to make the choice, I'm going to go straight with the ink I'm going to go.
You're going to do it your way.
I'm going to go naked.
Yeah.
With this
is the formula for fame, style. By the way. You're going to get famous for this.
This is how it happens.
Yeah, I know so. This is how it happens. Like artists are like, yeah, I can do this thing and everybody's going to love it, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And you're also going to love that. And everyone's like, wow, I love it.
Yeah.
Everything you're saying makes so much sense to me right now. I don't know if there's a more elegant activity that I've ever heard from that an illustrator's engaged in as your reason for drawing hands. And I mean that in the same way as like a singer is never without their instrument. You came up with, another thing about you is I don't know if I've met somebody who's more drawn by destiny and dare I say faith, just like you just move forward and you're like, I know I'm going the right way. And the fact that you look down at your hand and you're like, oh, this thing here, I'm never going to be without it. I can draw with frickin', you know, anything. I could draw with a rock if I needed to. You've created like this closed loop that is on par with like a singer. Like, it is such a pure, your hands, now that you've explained it, are one of the purest art forms I've ever heard of. Because it doesn't, the whole world could just blow apart and you could do what you do. Whereas my Wacom tablet takes a freaking, like, my wife comes in here. My wife's super nice. She would never do this, and like destroys it with like a sword. I'm screwed. Like, or the power goes out. It's like, no, Dave Arcade.
Well, but if the power goes out, I'm not going to be able to share what I do either. So we're all screwed if power goes out. We depend so much on it.
Yeah. Well, and I love the way that, I mean, I think it's so great that you have these kind of two separate but interconnected spaces that you have to explore and play. Like, and I think that from the way that you told your story, you kind of always had that. Like, you had fashion, but then you also had commercial illustration. So you had, you know, it's so cool to see how you move from one thing to the other so seamlessly, because, you know, you start with this one thing, fashion design, and then you're like, okay, but I also like this thing that's kind of connected, but I'm going to bring my same cheaty style to it and like do it my way, as I always do. And then you kind of move into that space. It's like, it's so interesting to see how it's never been like a super conscious, super intentional, like, okay, I'm going to do this thing now and I'm going to have to figure out how to do it. All of your movements have been like so organic. And then you go, you know, commercial illustration, and you're like, oh, but like, I kind of just want to play around with this other style and see what I can do. And then, you know, all of a sudden, boom, you have a fine art career. You're like, making these incredible paintings.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it took some time.
Of course.
Because I started professionally as an illustrator. I started like 10, 12 years ago as a professional, only living from illustration. So it took some time. But yeah, I think I've had my eyes opened. So... because it's not the same to say I like something than to realize I think I am good at something. Sometimes we tend to listen too many times, you can do whatever you want, and
yeah,
yes, but not everything, but I mean, I like the idea of trust. You should trust in yourself, definitely. But you also have to be open enough to or humble enough to understand that there are ways, there are paths that there are not meant to you, or maybe you're not good at wherever. I mean, I cannot sing at all. I have such a bad voice. So maybe my way it is not to be a singer. And yeah, I sing when I'm here alone in my studio, and you don't want to listen to that. I destroy all the classics that I listen to. But yeah, if you can see where you exceed at, maybe it is easy for you to close some doors and open others, and then you create your path, but based on an honest criteria. You really need to be honest and to say I'm really good at it, or I'm just, because nowadays let's talk about the likes and the everything, the
totally.
Social media. I see people posting stuff, even if it's photography or drawing, so their friends, what their friends or the family, they want to be nice with that person, so they say, oh, it is lovely, I love it. So they think they are good at it because everybody close to them, everybody is telling them they are good at it. They don't stop and analyze and see references and see artists from the past and say, hey, wait a second, am I good?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's telling me so because of that, and we're gonna have these interactions, these bad interactions, I would say. We need to trust. We need to have a good judgment about an honest judgment about ourselves, mm-hmm. and not really listen to what people have to say, especially if they are friends and your mother.
Yeah.
Totally.
if your mother tells you, "Oh, you're the most beautiful person," that doesn't mean you're a model. That just means she loves you to death.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely. That is so funny.
Man, I don't want to forget my thought. I had a thought. It's fleeting. It's going away.
No.
It's gone.
Damn it. It's
gone.
It's fine.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Like you said it, you wrapped it up anyway. Like, I don't really have anything to add to that. Cause it's just so true. Oh, honest criteria. That's so I know what the common thread is with artists. You know how I was kind of like chipping away at it when I first went down this road with you. It's a fearlessness. It's like you're a ship on the ocean and you're like, I don't know where I'm going. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm alive and I got food and it's beautiful out. Whereas I think a lot of artists want to control it. Like, oh, I hope I land in Paris, or like, mm-hmm. I hope that I become famous for killing the giant whale or whatever. It's like, well, whatever. I'm on the ocean. I don't have any control. I'm just going to go with the moment. And like, if somebody told you at your most insecure period in your life, you're going to draw hands, you might've been like, well, that doesn't sound very cool, but it's the coolest thing in the world because it's what you do and you've made it cool. And holy smokes, am I far away from finding that thing, but that's okay because you made me realize it.
And I think that an important part of his formula as well is trusting that you're going to get there eventually, right? Is like knowing that you have this vision of where you want to be and you will figure it out eventually. You know, if again, you keep going with your honest criteria and you're like real about yourself and what you can
definitely,
do.
You definitely have to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is like losing your keys and you get mad and crazy just trying to look at every corner at your place. And there's a moment we say, hey, I look at every inch in my house. I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to watch a movie. And at the moment you sit on the couch, you have the keys right there next to you. But
so true.
So you need to relax. But there has to be the time. I mean, there has to be the energy of looking on some, looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
But not in a crazy way, but just you really need to have it in your mind. So if you want to go somewhere, yeah, think about it. Don't get too crazy. Just think about it. Think often about it, pretty often. But it's not going to come in a day or a week or a month, or maybe it will. But
so far it's taken 2 years, Wayne. So
the other day I was speaking with this mom of two, and she was telling me the first kid she spent 5 years to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She got all these treatments and blah blah. She was having such a hard time because that's something she wanted to do. So when she became a mom a few months later, she got pregnant again.
Of course.
I mean, she was not just cooking, obviously.
Yeah.
But she thought she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But because she was so relaxed with the idea, she tried very hard in the beginning. But now she relaxed in a way that her body allowed her to become a mom again. So it was a surprise somehow, but she did her search, her searching, mm-hmm. in the beginning as well.
Yeah. You need to talk to Raul Urias. What is it? You say his name.
It's like Urias, I think.
He's only one of my favorite artists of all time.
Urias, sorry, Raul. I think.
Yeah. You guys are like soul twins. He talks about art in a similar way that you do, and he understands it.
You mean Raul? Sorry. Yeah.
No. Urias. There's two.
Urias. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's on our roster. When you see his illustrations, it's a moment of, oh, I'll never be that good. Like it's just a game over kind of Mike Tyson sort of thing.
He's from Mexico. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow him.
Yeah. He gets it the same way that you do. You should fire up a chat with that guy. Like, I probably learned the most about, art, talking to him and you today. I know it seems like I'm a crazy fanboy, just like I have like a Wayne t-shirt, just like, hey! Like the buildings on the back, you know, like, have you seen this building? But seriously, you have stuff figured out, and that's okay. That's okay to have stuff figured out, man. Like I know a lot of people don't want to admit it when they have stuff figured out, but you put the key down. You've spent a lot of time thinking about it. You've put in the work. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to be like, you know what? I have some things figured out. And you really do. Like, your approach makes sense and your reasons for making art. And one of the reasons why I know is because I'm on the search that you were on. Like, I really am trying to find out what I do. I don't want to draw a bunch of stuff, like 80 things per piece for the rest of my life. It's freaking torture. I need to find my hands. What if I just start making hands? I'm just like,
yeah, why not? Notes. I mean, we all have them. I draw my left hand because I draw with the right one. Yeah. But you have your own left and right. So,
my hands are chubby. Nobody wants to see these things all over.
Listen,
you know,
your hands are the hands that I'm drawing. So I use mine. Mine are like thin,
mm-hmm.
but I use mine as an example. But at the end, what I'm doing hands is the idea of a hand. It is not an actual perfect hand because it is a symbol. If I draw a hand, then you can only see a hand.
Right.
But I'm doing it in a raw and in pure way. I think about my grandfather's hands because he's been working in the field. I mean, I don't know how to say it. He has orange trees.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. he knows how to work with the field, and his hands are big and raw. And I think it is more real. I'm trying to represent this type of hands because I wanna get away from what is considered beautiful.
Yeah.
Because as I said in the beginning, when something is just beautiful, you get easily tired of it. I could place hands and I've done it so many times in fashion illustration, hands with so delicate and feminine, but then they represent something totally different from I'm trying to represent, which is way deeper than just the aesthetics or how good you look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your hands, Dave, are the hands.
Okay. You convinced me. I mean, for our listeners, if you know Wayne's work and you follow him on Instagram, then you've seen him draw hands. I just saw it for the first time. You just go, you dig right in. Like you piece of paper down, and almost like drawing clouds. Like there's no, it's random. You just get in there and you do it really quickly. It's super loose and improvisational almost. Well, totally. In fact.
Yeah. I mean, but you can, if you see the first one that I do and the 10th or the 20th one, because not every hand works.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do it. I started as a warm up and step by step, I'm getting closer to the idea that I have at that time. I want to look spontaneous. That's my goal.
But as
you can know, Dave, you play guitar. To do a solo moment, you really need to know what you're doing. So you need to practice a lot to do improvisations. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. I draw a lot. So I practice how to look spontaneous. Mm-hmm. You cannot seem spontaneous without practicing.
True.
Or at least not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a truth wizard. It's like, yeah, no, that's a good way of putting it. A classic example, you've heard it our whole lives, but it's so freaking true. You have to know the rules to break them. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you make so much more sense to me now with your watercolor, your perfect watercolors. Of course, you can now, that's where the freedom comes from. I can't be free on the guitar now because I don't know enough rules. And so it's this frustrating area. But I think it's kind of what we've been talking about this whole time. We've been talking around this idea of freedom. Like, how do you find that artistically? First, you have to know that it exists. And that's a whole matrix waking up thing where you're like, wait a minute. There's freedom in this somewhere. Some artists never even have the thought. So it's important to first have the thought, but then you got to find out what you do. And man, I would be willing to bet, based on the artists that I know and talking to you today, and even some feelings I have in my heart about not wanting to draw things, but make things with my hands, it probably will lead you to the last place you'd ever expect.
Hmm.
Do you think that's probably the correct assessment? Did you ever think you were going to be drawing hands that you're going to get famous for? And also, how many blue hand posters are there in the world? Or is it just that one on your wall?
Oh, 25.
I'm going to get one.
No, because, I mean, this one you mean, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I want that on my wall. I'm going to find one. They're probably all sold, right?
They're sold out. But yeah. I've just released a new edition. That was the Le Miroir Bleu, which is the blue mirror. Mm. And now I've just released the black mirror, Le Miroir Noir.
So are these like on your site? Do you sell them just like, hey, dropping 25 prints and first come, first serve?
Yeah, yeah. I dropped it a few days ago, 4 days ago maybe.
And I think...
Are they sold out?
No, the black version, not yet.
Dave, we'll fight for this one.
But yeah, this drop, I did it in two colorways. So it's 25 each with a blue background and then a bone, like off-white background.
Yeah.
And I think this is the perfect segue for our last question, because I know we've held you up past when we said we were going to, so I want to wrap it up so you can get back to your work. But Chidi, can you tell people where they can find you and your work?
Sure, they can find me at Chidi Wayne, which is ChidiWayne, and my website www.chidiwayne.com.
beautiful.
So they can find me in Barcelona. If they are in town, I'll happily open the doors for them. I said in the beginning, I enjoy being by myself. But I also love to share this space with the people.
One day, TD,
interest
I'll be there.
Enough in the work to come here and say hi.
I'll be there.
You two
one
are
day.
Meet. Yep.
I want to.
You go to Spain sometimes, don't you?
I've been once, but now. Awesome. Well, I'll wrap
it up. I'm waiting for you.
Perfect.
Here, Andrea.
I'll be there. Okay, we'll wrap it up. Thank you so much, Chidi, for being here. Thank you for letting us gab with you for so long. And I think I speak for Dave and I when I say we would love to have you back sometime, because I think there's so much more that we can cover.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co.
But wait, before you go, we've got something super special for those of you looking for more opportunities to grow your creative career. Head to the show description and join the community. An interactive space to share information, gather resources, and build relationships with other creatives and us here at CNC.